Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Raw Impressions, hosted by me, 4-Track Man. That's right! This week, Lou and Adele will be on the couch as my guests. I'd much rather be talking to Adele exclusively. Between you and me. But this week, Lou has news. He did something of note. He's just returned from a trip to the Pacific Northwest, where he played some very special shows with Dinosaur Jr. to commemorate a 30-year anniversary of the very popular record, Where You Been? He wasn't there. He wasn't on that one. The most popular record of Dinosaur Jr.'s career. Anyway, but there were some very, very special guests at the shows, weren't there, Lou?
Yes.
Lou.
What?
There were some very special guests on the shows,
there
correct?
There were, 4-Track Man, indeed.
You know, having seen that album
I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you're going to have some time.
What do you say?
You're going to have some time.
Questions?
To answer my questions.
Okay.
And Adele, please,
weigh in.
Please feel free to interject at any time. At any time. If you have any questions or concerns, please let me know. All right, get ready.
I feel like I'm at the starting line. I'm like ready and waiting for the guns, like pew, go, run. So what's the questions?
I don't know.
Where are they?
Where'd he go?
4-Track Man, hello.
Hello.
I thought he was prepping us for some questions.
Yeah, well.
I would like to say that that album is really good. Where You Been?
You listened to it?
Well, I got to hear it when you guys did the show in Amherst.
Yeah, when we played it live.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I mean, I was like,
well, I love playing those songs.
Yeah.
I think it sounds great. So, I like how it introduces a dynamic.
Like it's one of the most experimental Dinosaur Jr. Like as far as Jay, like he did really experimental stuff with his voice and with instruments on that.
That's true. It's like a big budget LP that he made, and it's pretty dynamic. That beautiful quiet song, Not the Same.
Yes. That song live, he did a really good job of that.
He sings it really good. And then there's these other ones that are kind of more country punk flavored, but the way that Murph and I play them has got we put that momentum behind it.
Did Murph actually play on that album?
I think he might have. Yeah.
Didn't know.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Let's just say yes.
Yes. Okay.
I don't want to consult any devices.
Well, so this is a recap episode of your shows in Portland and Seattle then, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I talked to 4-Track Man about it, and I thought, you know, we don't usually do this. We don't usually go down point by point.
Oh. One of the guests was Peter Holstrom, who is known for his work with the Dandy Warhols. I never thought you'd be a junkie, cause heroin was so passe. Hey. That's a great tune. Now, Peter was a member of the Sun Atoms who opened the shows. Well, tell me about it, Lou. Tell me about it.
It was cool.
Peter?
Peter.
Okay.
Peter from the Dandy Warhols. And Peter wears a really cool hat, this really cool black hat that sort of hangs over his brow.
Is he a guitar player?
He is.
And what, is he like an original member of the Dandy Warhols?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
The way he dressed, he should be.
He should be.
Yes.
All I know is that, boy, that what's that album? Is it 13 Tales from Urban Bohemia? Am I mixing albums or is that correct? Is that the name of it? Something about something Tales from Urban Bohemia?
I'm not a Dandy Warhols expert.
Oh, okay. Well, all I know is that album, I love it.
You like it.
I love it from start to finish. Oh. But he was good. He was great.
Yeah, no, he's a really nice guy.
It was a snowy night that first night in Portland, and snow makes Portland freak the fuck out.
Well, for good reason.
Not a lot of people went, but you know who came? Lou. Tell us about the second guest that night. Who was it again? Who?
Well, Portland only has like 2 snow plows.
Yeah.
And they don't use salt on the road. And it also gets extremely windy there because it's sort of set on the side of
It was actually legitimately a crisis.
Yeah, people could not make it. literally couldn't come to the show.
Sorry to those folks.
Anyway, Stephen Malkmus.
Stephen Malkmus from Pavement.
Yep, he and his daughter and his wife ventured out. They were able to make it to the show. We weren't able to do a sound check. Mm-hmm. We played the song Cracked, which is da-da-da-da-da-da.
What's that from? I don't know. Oh,
you're living all over me.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, a classic Dinosaur Jr. track. And he played it like he'd heard it a million times.
Probably has.
I think he has. Mm-hmm. And he told Jay that there was one part of the song, like before a lead kicks in, that is one of the greatest moments in music, he said.
Aww.
And then Stephen and I we talked for a while. I talked to his daughter, who works at KSPC, mm-hmm. the college radio. She's a college freshman at Pomona College. Mm-hmm. College.
Nice.
College. So she's the same age as my oldest. Mm-hmm. And talked to his wife. Great conversation about raising kids.
She's an artist.
She's an artist. She's like a kind of a badass artist.
Mm-hmm.
She's been at Mass Mocha, all kinds of places.
Amazing.
But super down to earth.
That's nice. Yeah.
Pavement.
How good is Pavement, right?
What a band.
So good.
What a band. They really captured the spirit of the time back then. They were really the band that was on everyone's lips. I said, but they weren't quite that popular, were they, Lou? All right.
Ouch.
Whoa, moving on.
Zing.
Moving on.
Oh.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Lou.
Oh, okay.
Portland, night 2. What happened? What happened? Did you play with Brian from Red Fang?
Yes.
Mm. You did.
I did.
I just adore Red
Fang. That's so great. You love that band.
I do.
Complex arrangements and infectious compositions that they have. It must be something that you aspire to. You've never quite done anything quite like that.
It's true, I haven't.
Oh, our track man's, he's, oof.
You know the best thing, I mean, Brian... He learned the song Sludge Feast, which actually comes right after Cracked on the album, You're Living All Over Me. He did a fantastic job. It's like a really good...
So he must live there in Portland?
He does.
Oh, is that, the band is that more Red Fang? Is that like a Portland band?
Yeah, that's where they're from.
Nice.
They're sort of they call it stoner metal.
Okay.
But I just call it good. Good Black Sabbath influenced music.
You really,
I love them so much.
Adore Red Fang.
I love them
much.
So much. I watched them play like 25 times last year and I loved every fucking show. Brian brought me a corduroy coat. Because he saw my Instagram.
Sweet.
He saw my Instagram that said that, like, oops, I only brought one coat to Portland.
And you were freezing.
It was really cold.
Legitimately freezing.
Wind chill factor.
It was cold. Cold ass weather in Portland.
It was like wind chill factor. Like, whoa. It felt like it was like 5 below and it was raining at the same time. It was kind of chaotic. So I know.
I was bummed because I have two really good friends from when I lived in LA who both live out in Portland, and neither of them could come.
They
shout
don't
out
have power.
Sarah and Joby.
No power.
I know. Sarah's texting me like, I think my phone's going to run out of... I can almost like hear her battery dying in her text. And she's like, and I just saw an evergreen fall on my neighbor's car. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people saw trees just like, falling. Jesus. I mean, I guess on the like, other side safe. Of the river, on the foot of the hill, which lies on the west side of Portland. Portland is kind of bisected by this river that I can't name.
That river, I know.
But that river. And so...
Yeah, it's like part of it could move around, part of the city, right? And the other half was in ice.
I was in the functional part of town.
You were
what
in the functional
this
part,
one?
It's true.
This one, I will say, you had played with this guest before, I believe, in New York City, in Brooklyn. In the borough of Brooklyn, one of the five boroughs of New York City, Brooklyn. You played at the Music Hall of Williamsburg with Isaac Brock. And Isaac made a hometown return to bless the stage for you guys with his creativity, his unpredictability, the inimitable Isaac Brock. How did that go?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I thought it was cool. Every time he's played the song with us, he played Watch the Corners with us.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that. So he
kind
of went deep.
Oh,
yeah,
neat.
He found...
What a fun surprise. Yeah. I didn't know that.
No, but like, there's been a few people that have really kind
great
of,
song live.
Yeah, they find a really cool, like almost, a newer Dinosaur Jr.
I know.
Song.
Wow.
But he played, the three times that he played it, he played something different each time.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, what? I mean, because he has this pedal, like this scrambler pedal that just scrambles his notes. And I got to go to his studio the second night we were in Portland, and he said, do you want to come to the studio? And much to his surprise, I said, yes. And it was like, because it was like 12:30
yeah, late.
In the morning. And I was with my 18-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
And we all went.
And your nephew.
My daughter, and we all piled into Isaac's car, and we drove to his studio on the west side of Portland, uh-huh. downtown. We went into his fantastic labyrinth of a studio / workspace. The guy works on, he had a big like woodworking thing. He had a fucking bandsaw, or what do you call those things?
Incredible.
He's like building bunk beds right now.
It's amazing.
Out of pine. He's building pine bunk beds like in the middle. He has one floor where like his kids can run around, and there's like this big
amazing.
Space. And then below that, he's got this incredible studio, and it's all just the cool shit everywhere. The biggest pedal collection I've ever seen, bigger than the one at the Wilco Loft.
Really?
Yes.
That was quite a pedal collection.
Wow.
Huh.
Was it ever? Is it ever?
Uh-huh.
But Isaac... That was fun.
I bet Jay would have loved to see his pedal collection, huh?
Jay would have loved to see those pedals. It's true.
First night, Seattle, on the very special run of shows for Dinosaur Jr. Oh, the first night in Seattle was quite a star-studded night. It began with who? Matt Cameron? Drummer for Soundgarden, and now the drummer for Pearl Jam, two enormously popular bands. What was that like? I hear that Matt chose his own tune, his own sort of Dinosaur Jr. deep cut to play on drums.
That's true.
Yeah.
He played a song called Yeah, We Know off the Bug record, which has always been kind of one of my favorites. It's a kind of a, it's a really heavy chordal dirge that Jay wrote. It's like stop, start. It's kind of the, it's a very emotional song for me because it was on the last record that I was on and I was like, oh my God, there's like, there's a line on it that's like, about to crack with no hope of coming back. How'd we ever get it together? I'm like, but Matt wanted to play that song. It's got this great like tribal kind of drumming to it, like Tom's like, so I got to like just stand next to Matt Cameron and watch him play drums. And it was cool.
And that's very cool.
Then, you know, afterwards had a, you know, brief conversation about kids and being an aging rocker.
Yeah.
He lives outside of Seattle.
Nice.
And he seemed very nice. And as anyone sort of peripheral to the Pearl Jam thing, they all seem like they got a, there's a good vibe.
Yeah.
Going on with that's those so guys.
Cool. Well, we personally had dinner with Jeff Ament.
We did. That was cool.
He's lovely. Lovely.
This one is heavy. Dave Matthews, you, Lou, shared the stage with Dave Matthews? You. I never thought I'd see the fucking day. Well, congratulations. Tell us all about it. What was it like to share the stage with the great Dave Matthews?
It was cool. He was really nice. And I liked his version of Cortez the Killer because it was Dave. It was like he did the things that he does that we know him for. Like he did a lot of vocalizations, like you know, that kind of thing that he does. And he played acoustic guitar, so we actually meant that we did come down in volume so as to not overwhelm Dave. We did suggest, he thought that he shouldn't wear earplugs. We're doing the sound check. And he's like, I don't think I'm going to wear earplugs. And I said, I suggest you wear earplugs. I said, we can modulate and come down for your volume, but it's still going to be incredibly loud.
Yeah.
So he put in earplugs as we suggested. And he was like, whoa, this is interesting. This feels, you know, this is a strange sensation.
So then you don't think he doesn't wear earplugs with Dave Matthews Band?
Or? He probably wears in-ear monitors.
Oh, okay.
But just putting things to block all of every frequency from your, to protect yourself as if you are a, working on a construction site. That's a whole other level of hearing protection. And that's the level that Dinosaur... We're doing our sound check and we're wearing, like, all of us, we now, all three of us have these big, you know, the...
Muffs, the gun muffs.
The construction muffs on. So we have those on. And these people walk out on stage with us like, okay.
Oh, dear.
but Dave put in his earplugs and we did a really fun, long version of Cortez. And I don't know.
That's nice.
His playing really brought out things in my playing that I enjoyed.
Aww.
So, I liked it.
That's cool.
This one was tasty. Ooh. I heard about this and I thought, that's perfect. Wow. Lou must have met Mark Arm somewhere during the years. Mudhoney and Sabadell were concurrently touring through the United States and Europe. And you often saw their name everywhere, actually everywhere. People were very interested in this band. Probably a little bit more than your band, Lou. Truth be told. No. Mark Arm, the lead singer of Mudhoney, sang with Dinosaur Jr. Nice. Tell me more.
Well, we played two Stooges songs. Stooges are very seminal. Adele loves it when I say the word seminal.
But he loves to educate me on these seminal bands.
Very influential band, especially. I mean, they really did influence the grunge thing. Mudhoney, Dinosaur Jr. at the same time. We're pretty much the same age. When we first came to Seattle, I found this out. I confirmed with Mark Arm that they were all there at our very first show. There weren't very many people there. But Mark had roped all of his friends, including the guy who ran Sub Pop Records, Bruce Pavitt. They were all going to go to a party. But instead, Mark convinced them all to go to the Dinosaur show. Wow. And this is what I remember, is a bunch of guys with long hair gathered around Jay's pedal boards. Because at that point, no one was using these vintage pedals that Jay was using, but they were as well. And they named their first EP Superfuzz Big Muff, which was like something that Jay used.
That's so cool.
So it was like, it was like this, we made this kind of like transcontinental
connection. Western Mass.
But I never met them because I was afraid to talk to anybody. And I never did. I mean, I just didn't really talk to a lot of my fellow musicians, or I felt I did not talk to them. And I had never met Mark Arm until that the show the other night.
What?
Yeah. Had a nice chat.
Night that's a total shock. I didn't know that.
Theater. Lou Barlow is playing the bass. The bass with Dinosaur Jr. Now, he wasn't a member of the band when the album that's being celebrated, the most popular album of the band's career, Lou was not a part of that album. But yes, day two, show night two. Matt and Charity, the head and the heart? What?
What?
Yeah, what? Head and the heart. They're this young couple. I say young. They've got two kids. They've got a three-month-old and then like a 3-year-old. I'm approximating that, but they are very popular. They like play Red Rocks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they came out and sang on one of our favorite songs to play, which is called "Been There All the Time." It's and they came out and they sang double harmony vocals with the whole song without fucking rehearsing.
Wow!
They came out and they sang this. They added this like depth of harmonies to it, and like we were able to play it at full force, because at first I was like, "Oh God, we're gonna kill them. Like, we're gonna hurt them if they stand
the head and the heart."
And we're gonna have these two people, these sweet people, like standing in front of, known for like kind of acoustic based music, I think. And I was like, "Oh God, this is. Do they know what they're stepping into?" And yes, they did. And they handled it beautifully, and they sang perfectly. It was so cool. And then we had a long conversation about raising kids on tour, and really nice.
That's so sweet. Yeah.
Last guess, who was it, Lou? Who was it?
Jessica Dobson.
Was it Jessica Dobson?
Yes, it was Jessica Dobson. I was not familiar with her work. But apparently she's worked with a lot of bands that I love.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of things that I like, and like a lot of, you know, big name, really cool indie artists like the Shins.
Mm-hmm.
She plays guitar and she sings. She got up and she did "Feel the Pain" with us, sang every word of the song, matched Jay solo for solo.
Wow.
I mean, she was like, and then she soloed in parts of the song that don't have solos, which people, I think a lot of times the guitar players that we do play with are a little intimidated.
Uh-huh.
And they won't, but she seemed so like, just again, like head and heart. They were she just seemed comfortable, there for it. Knew what it was, and really, she just, and there's some complicated parts of that song. Some parts of that song took me, I mean, months to learn.
Uh-huh.
They're a little unpredictable. Jay's chords and stuff are not predictable. But she knew it cold and played a sweet solo on it and sang beautifully to it.
Aww.
And looked totally confident and like without, but in a very down to earth way.
That's
that was
amazing.
The thing with both of the,
amazing.
That last night, the, because I was not totally familiar. I'm not familiar with either of them, to be honest. Like, and I know the names, Head and Heart for sure, but I didn't know. And I was just really, really, it was like when we played with that guy from TV on the radio, Kip mm-hmm. Malone. I mean, I knew TV on the radio a little bit, but boy, he just blew me away.
And bow it was down.
Yeah, I was just really, I don't know.
Impressed.
So impressed. And
it sounds like it was really fun.
Another episode of Raw Impression. I've been your host, Four Track Man, asking the questions, getting deep.
I think he did a pretty good job.
Digging deep and finding out. Finding out the truth, getting the
Not too bad, not too bad.
I could take
impression.
It. I could take it.
You can definitely take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know.
You got your time, this Lou. You got your time, this Lou. You got your time, this Lou. You got your time, this Lou.
What does that mean?
You got your time, this Lou.
It sounded like a, you got your time. You got your time. You got your time this time, Lou.
Oh,
like oh, we talked about you.
Yeah, Lou's episode. This is a Lou-isode.
Kind of, that's a little bit of a yeah.
It's all right.
It was,
honey.
Is that okay?
You're a rock star, baby.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.